You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. My camera's down here now. Hey everyone, welcome to KoopaCast number 58, Unpredictable, brought to you by PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. I'm your host for the KoopaCast, Matthew Paxton. I'm the multimedia manager here. I am joined by two other people here for this episode. I am joined by Justin Sharp, our editor-in-chief. And then I'm also joined by Alex Shramka, who is a writer at PureNintendo.com.
Close enough.
Yeah.
I went over to my head 8 times. I'm like, no, it can't be Shramke. Shramke doesn't make any sense. It's got to be
That's exactly why it's Shramke.
This is why we need to have Germans. A podcast, so I can remember all of your names.
Yeah.
If for no other reason.
Yeah.
All right. And, if you've taken a look at the description that we put up on our website, purenintendo.com, you'll have noticed that the topic of today's podcast is all about predictions for what Nintendo is going to do for 2015. If you haven't gone to our website already, you can take a look. Justin and James, as part of their annual tradition, have come up with a top 10 list of things that Nintendo will do, so you can take a look and see what the 2015 predictions are, as well as what predictions they made for 2014. You can see on the screen right behind me here, I put up 2014 predictions of Justin. It should have been 2015, but I guess I wasn't paying attention to that.
That's all right.
So, without further ado, we're actually going to start out with Justin because he has the most established list and he needs to explain himself, I think.
Yeah, you want me to explain 2015 or are we doing 2014 ones or just 2015?
Let's take a look at 2015. If we look at 2014, we'll be like here for 2 hours.
Yes, agreed. All right, here. So my 2015 predictions. It was kind of interesting. In 2014, I did some kind of crazy ones. So I tried to go a little bit more with some safe predictions this time. But some of them are still kind of wild. So if you guys have not seen them, do you want me to go ahead and go through the 10 of them?
If you want to, yeah, go for it.
Okay. So my predictions for 2015, the first one, the new Nintendo 3DS will release in spring of this year. Retro Studios' next game will be unveiled. Wii U will see another price drop. The Quality of Life platform will be unveiled. More games will take better advantage of Amiibo. And I kind of put in parentheses there, not just unlocking skins or downloadable content or being AI controlled. Because I think they're just scratching the surface of what they can do with Amiibo. I hope they, keep building on it. Pokken Fighters will be announced for Wii U. New Animal Crossing announced for Wii U. A new peripheral or expansion announced for the Wii U gamepad. New Pokemon games announced will use Amiibo. And new platforms will be added to the Virtual Console service. And then, those were the top 10. James and I always do a list of 10, but James wanted to do something different this year. I think it's because he wants to get some extra points with it, But so he was like, hey, let's do some wild card predictions, and if we get those right, we get 2 points instead of 1 point. So,
Here. Yeah. Oh.
Did you not see that?
No, I thought you were just making things up.
No, huh? He said,
James is sneaky like that.
Yeah. At the top there, it says, in addition to the 10 predictions we usually do, we also made 2 wild card predictions.
Yeah, but see, it doesn't say anything about 2 points now.
Oh, it doesn't say the 2 points. Well, maybe I need that. He needs to. We'll add that to the article. But right. So my wild cards were the first one being the next generation Nintendo handheld will be announced, but it won't be released this year. And kind of my thinking there is, you know, it's getting to where the 3DS is almost 5 years old.
Right.
And with the new 3DS coming out, I see it as more like kind of the DSi XL was. It's just kind of that tail end of the platform's life cycle. And I could easily see a new handheld being announced this year, but not coming out until next year sometime. And there's also been some rumors that Nintendo's using a AMD chip for a new system. I don't think a new console is feasible. I mean, maybe at this point they've selected AMD, but because they've used them in the past. But I don't know. It seems like it could be the handheld. Granted, some of us think we are going to be getting some sort of a handheld console hybrid from Nintendo next, so it could be both. Who knows? The other wild card was, I think there's going to be a software update that will allow the Wii U to play GameCube games. And that was just kind of out in left field. I was just trying to
come up with when something. You say GameCube games, do you mean like I could grab the disc, like the GameCube disc, and put them in my Wii U and that'll play? Or do you mean yes. that we'll see it on the virtual console?
I was thinking it would be a software update to where you would put the discs in there. Now, I don't have much evidence. I haven't obviously taken a Wii U apart and analyzed the, you know, the disc drive to make sure that it's like the Wii's in the sense that it could accept both the small and the big discs. But I don't see why Nintendo would, you know, I'm sure that part was fairly cheap once the Wii U came out, because they've been producing millions of Wii's. So why downgrade the disk drive and take out that functionality to accept both a small and the regular size disk? So my thinking is they've always had that in there. They just haven't told people, and they're going to do a software update, especially now that you have the GameCube controllers for Smash Brothers. I mean, what's a cooler way to, you know, to get to Nintendo fans like, hey, you guys, I mean, the GameCube, it's kind of peaked in its popularity amongst gaming collectors now. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, the GameCube has all these cool games, you know. You know, because it didn't sell well as the PS2 and Xbox. But a lot of people feel it had a lot of great games, and people are kind of rediscovering those. So I think it's a perfect time to bring it back. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't think you're going to get any points in those wild cards, man. I'm sorry, I got to be honest. I figure if GameCube's in there, it's going to be a software update. But I don't think they're even going to tackle that until they get N64 out of the way.
That's true.
And then I don't think there's going to be a new next-generation handheld out simply because of the new 3DS. If they didn't announce the new 3DS, then I think there's no way. But I think if they put that out there and then they put out another new handheld like a year after that, I think that would just be like shooting themselves in the foot and then like kind of like giving a bad message to like people who buy their stuff. Like, it sounds like they're becoming Apple. Like, oh, here's a new one every year now, and sucks to be you.
No, I don't know if my wallet could take that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's definitely a long shot, both of those wild cards, but
I think with the new 3DS, I get more of a Game Boy Color vibe. You can play all of your old games, but it's also going to have its own set of games that can only be played on it. Mm-hmm. So it's going to give the 3DS line a little bit more lifespan until we know what the next new handheld is going to be. That's the way I kind of view it because of that factor.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I had thought of the new 3DS kind of like the... when the DSi came out, you know, the DSi had exclusive games that were only playable on the DSi because of the camera or you know, some of the little things that they added, DSiWare and some of that stuff. So I see it kind of like that, where the new 3DS will have maybe a few games that take advantage of it, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they're designing it with more legs, and it's going to be here for, you know, 2 years before the next system comes out. But
yeah, because it seems like there wasn't like a software jump from you know, the DS to DSi as there is with the 3DS and the new 3DS.
That's true.
With I think they're really like trying to like, I think we might see like some Wii ports going over to the 3DS. Like starting with Xenoblade Chronicles, I think that was their title to say to support Xenoblade Chronicles X coming out on the Wii U in 2015. But I think it's also like a great like selling point to say, hey, look at this huge game that we could just put in a handheld now. And, you know, that really showcases like what the 3DS is capable of, or indeed what it could be capable of in the future. You know, as people, you know, progress with these new systems, just like in every console, we don't really see what like the potential is until like a few years down the line. Right. So if people like this amazing giant game on like a handheld, you know, I think like not only customers but developers can be like, holy crap, you know, we need to invest in this console now. We need to invest in this handheld. This seems like there's possibilities here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Sorry to crush your wild card dreams there, Justin.
That's okay. That's why they're wild cards.
We're hoping to get ready to battle with James next year. Let's see. Everything else, you know, I kind of more or less agree with here. Yeah, these is Justin's. Just got to make sure. Except for Pokken Fighters, I think that's just going to be an arcade. I don't think we're going to see that ported over.
Oh, but that looks fun.
Yeah.
I just don't see, like, the advantage of doing it. Like, yeah. I understand, like, it's a Tekken-style game, but it just seems like it has that just right about a niche to stay in Japan, you know, right next to that Japan-exclusive Mario Kart.
Actually,
yeah,
you're talking about the arcade ones,
the
DP ones?
Yeah.
My movie theater here, of all places in Cherokee, North Carolina, actually has one of those Mario Kart arcades. It's actually a lot of fun. I've played it. Nice. Yeah.
Sounds like we're all going to Cherokee next week.
Yes.
Heck yeah, man. It's got this really weird power-up where, like, you throw... It looks like a cake pan or something. Like, it's a Frisbee and it hits people. It's really bizarre.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, you need to go there and play it and then report back to us with the results.
Yeah.
I'll bring my my camera.
Yes.
And I'll do a video of me running it.
Another project for me? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Retro Studios, we haven't heard from them in a while. I completely agree with you that you know we'll see something from them.
Yeah.
Quality of life, probably. They've been talking it up for, like, at least a year now.
Mm-hmm. And they announced, like, fairly solid details in the last investor briefing as far as it's going to, you know, measure your sleep patterns. It's not something you wear. It kind of sits next to, you know, like on a nightstand or something and monitor stuff. So it's kind of interesting, but we'll see.
Where do you think we're going to see it? Do you think we're going to see it at, like, E3, or do you think we're going to see it at, like, CES?
Well, CES is going on right now, and it's almost...
I guess, like, the next CES, then.
Oh, the next CES. Yeah, I mean, possibly the next CES. I don't know if it's a good E3 thing, because it sounds like it's going to be positioned as something completely different. Like, it's not in the gaming space. It doesn't seem like yet, but, you know, maybe all of this is smoke and mirrors, but...
Yeah, and, I mean, they never said that it won't interact with...
Right.
The game consoles at all.
Yeah, and you'd kind of think, I mean, even with something like the Wii Fit meter, you know, that they have, I mean, it's something that has, you know, scope beyond video games, you know, tracking your activity and all that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they designed some sort of a game that took advantage of it. Maybe just an update to Wii U that monitors that stuff, Wii Fit U.
Right. Because there was two Wii Fit U's for the last platformer, so.
Yeah.
There's two Wii Fits for the Wii.
Yeah.
Could be two Wii Fit U's for the Wii U.
It's true. Wii Fit U too.
Yeah. I'm thinking of another show then. Like, what's the German show? Yeah, the one that takes place in Germany.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name.
Yeah, Gamescom.
Gamescom, yeah. We might see it there.
Possibly. Nintendo hasn't done much the last couple of years there, though.
Right. But it's just kind of like hard to think, where could quality of life be? Like,
yeah. The only thing that's kind of been like a weird, but I guess good time for Nintendo to announce stuff is in like August, September area. Like it's around like the Tokyo Game Show, but they obviously don't go to the Tokyo Game Show. They just kind of, I mean, because what was the new 3DS was announced kind of randomly in September or October?
Oh, I just looked this up. It was...
Is it late September or early October? It was what?
I want to say October.
Was it October?
I want to say October, but that's just me BSing.
I think it was actually August. It was late August. I think it was like August 22nd. Because I think that was... No, that's not right. It's got to be October. Because it was the same time as Xenoblade Chronicles was announced.
Right.
And that was the same time that Shulk was announced for Smash Brothers, I think.
Yeah.
And that was all through like a Japanese Nintendo Direct.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
All I know is I've been wanting a new 3DS for a while, so that probably sounds about right.
Yeah.
All I know is I hope I get a review copy.
Yeah, that's right.
All I'm saying. Come on, guys. Come on. Right, not you, Justin. You're fine. I'm talking Nintendo here. Come on. Come on, guys.
Come on. Get it out.
I've got video equipment here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. A new Animal Crossing, huh?
Yeah. One of the my reasonings for that was the plaza on the Wii U ended December 31, right?
Yeah.
So it seems like it would kind of, you know, open things up for, hey, you know, here's an Animal Crossing experience on the Wii U. So it seems like that could be a plausible thing.
Oh, I never thought about the Wii U. I just thought they would keep with the 3DS because it seems like it's the perfect platformer perfect platform for that kind of game, because it's like a semi-social, semi-continuous experience that you can...
Yeah, it makes me wonder what they could do with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about Miiverse. Miiverse could be a powerful thing with Animal Crossing, I think.
They'd have to have some serious features on, like, with Miiverse or something to,
to
get me over to that side. Because it seems like whatever the Miiverse can do, the 3DS system can do so much better.
That's true. I mean, Street Pass is compelling.
Mm-hmm. But immediately comes to mind, I think it would be cool if they took the Happy House Academy displays from the 3DS version. And kind of turn that into like an online bazaar, where like you could go and like you could have all your furniture that you maybe had extras of in like an online bazaar, and you could sell it. And so like you can go walk around and see all these characters in different places, and they'd have like, you know, items for sale. I think that would be really neat.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, what's to say the 3DS Animal Crossing and the Wii U one don't work together somehow? I mean, potentially you could, if you got it on the Wii U, you know, you have maybe a bigger world or something, but you could still take your character on the road and Street Pass and do all that and connect it up to the Wii U version. But we'll see. Has there been an Animal Crossing for every console and handheld since the GameCube?
Yep, there's been one for the DS, there's Wild World, and then there was City Folk for the Wii.
Yeah, so you had GameCube, DS, Wii, 3DS,
Mm-hmm.
So Wii U is a likely contender to at least get an Animal Crossing, but we'll see.
Yep. All right, I'll buy that. All right. New Pokemon game announced. We'll use Amiibo. I think that's obvious from everybody.
Yeah. Well,
I said, is anybody here going to disagree with that? They wouldn't take advantage of that, what I assume is a gold mine?
Yeah, well, it definitely would be a gold mine. The one caveat with that, you know, with having Amiibo support, let's say you bought, Piplup, you know, like a starter Pokemon who's the base evolution, and you're like, hey, I'm going to play the new Pokemon game. What happens when Piplup evolves? Are you going to go buy his evolved form? What happens when he evolves into his third evolution? Are you going to go buy the third one? So I think, yes, it is obvious they'll probably have some more Pokemon games. I think the Amiibo support is still kind of, a wild card in that, because what do they do with evolutions? Do you have a dynamic Amiibo that's a Pokeball and, you know, you can have whatever Pokemon in it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it'd be like this. If you get the Amiibo, it'll all be like base form Pokemon, right?
Uh-huh.
Unless you like special orders or something nonsense, I don't know. Uh-huh. Like, give yourself base form, and they all come with like a certain move that you wouldn't be able to get in the game. They would have like a higher whatever stat, like they'd have a higher attack stat or something like that.
You know what, guys? I just had a thought.
Uh-huh.
What if we've had Mega Evolutions for not too long? What if Mega Evolutions were thought of when they were thinking about doing Amiibo?
Interesting.
So the Amiibo that they're going to have, obviously they already have a Pokemon that's an Amiibo. They have Pikachu, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of kills my theory. But what if the Amiibo they come out for the new one are just all Mega Evolutions? So they're always some sort of ultimate form. And the reason you would use the Amiibo is, hey, I want a Mega Evolve, and boom, right here. Here's my Mega Evolution for this Pokemon I have in the game.
But, I don't know. Because that would put a monetary barrier into the game.
Well,
I'd be really cautious about doing that.
Yeah, well, not necessarily, but they could do it that way, I guess. But
it's like, if you want a Mega Evolve, you got to buy the Amiibo.
Well, I think they could still build it into the game, just like, hey, if you want this cool Mega Evolution, maybe, I don't know, he carries some other item, I don't know. But yeah, I think these concerns that we're bringing up are exactly why Amiibo is kind of a question mark for me for Pokemon.
Right.
You know, I don't know.
It could be like special items, too, like you can hold this, Pikachu, you get like whatever, I don't know. I don't have a handheld, unfortunately, so I can't keep up with the Pokemon these days.
Yeah. Like, it makes sense to me for them to support Amiibo, because the new 3DS is going to have, built-in Amiibo support, and they do have that, they are doing a peripheral still, right, where you can plug it into older 3DSs to do Amiibo, right? I think they're still planning on that.
Yeah.
So... you know, that's not going to restrict people from using them that have an older 3DS. I still think they're going to do it, but in what form it takes, I don't know. But
what if, I just had an idea.
Yeah.
What if they do a sort of a Safari Zone type thing with it, where you can buy amiibo of certain Pokemon, you scan it in, and that will populate your Safari Zone with this type of, Pokemon that you normally wouldn't find in your Safari Zone, and it has the added effects like, this will have, IVs with 31 in two places like they've been doing.
Right.
So you get maybe specific ones that you really want that would be hard to find in a Safari Zone, and then maybe you can do something with that where if it's scanned in, then you can trade with other people. Yeah. That might be something, because then there's no monetary barrier,
yeah,
but it's still something for serious people who really want to get a Pokemon and have it super trained easier. So that might be something.
Yeah, I like that idea, and I think that sounds more feasible. I still wonder, like, what form the Amiibo are going to take. You know, like I said, I get an Amiibo of a base evolution, and I don't know.
I got a question.
Yes.
What happens if you trade away the Amiibo Pokemon?
Oh, me.
See, I feel like I just threw a wrench in the whole system right there.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe that's part of it. And that's why I think Amiibo's cool with Pokemon. And this is why I go back to that other prediction I had about Amiibo getting more features. Because really, they kind of just scratch the surface. Like, I think it's sort of cool that I can put an Amiibo in Smash Brothers, but I wish I was leveling them up somehow, or I was, you know, impacting it somehow. Granted, it can learn from my attacks and all that, and I can fight it, whatever. But with Pokemon, it's a lot more compelling of experience because I sync my Amiibo, and I've trained that Amiibo up to level 100. It's named whatever nickname I gave it, whatever. So I think having trading doesn't necessarily break things. It's like, hey, if you trade away your level 100 Pikachu and it's named this, you give your Amiibo level 100 to somebody, there it is. You know, they can use that Pokemon no matter what the game is. And I think it could be cool. You train up that Pokemon, and maybe you take that to eventual new Pokemon Stadium game on the Wii U. And it's like, hey, I've played this on, you know, Pokemon Omega Ruby, and I've, you know, leveled it all the way up, and here I'm going to put it in the Stadium game. I don't know.
Maybe. Is this your way of saying your hidden 11th prediction is new Pokemon Stadium game?
I wouldn't put it, past Nintendo. It's been a while since they've done a Stadium game.
That was like GameCube was the last time.
No, they had one on the Wii, actually.
What did they have on the Wii?
What was it called?
Battle Stadium Revelations or something like that.
I think that's a dancing game.
Yeah, Pokemon Battle Revolution. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, I knew it started with an R.
Yep, and that actually came out fairly early on. That was one of the first games, if not the first game, to use the Nintendo Wi-Fi connection. And I think it was that and the Strikers game were one of the first ones. So this would have been like 2007. Let me look it up.
That's a long time between games.
Well, okay, yeah, 2006, it came out in December 2006 in Japan. So it was basically a launch title in Japan, almost. Hmm. That's interesting.
All right. And I think we got to move on because we spent like 20 minutes, 20, almost 30 minutes on Justin's list.
Sorry.
Alex, you got a list, right?
I got a few things, but I didn't have much time to think about it, so don't judge.
We'll see about that.
Okay. So I guess, like, for my first one, I think the new 3DS is going to come out in summer, so a little bit further than spring. Because summer is usually, like, a dead period of time where you get a lot of game releases, and it would make sense to bring out a brand new console here. So I guess if that counts, I'm moving it to summer instead of spring 2015. And I think when Xenoblade comes out for the new 3DS, there's going to be a special bundle that'll come with like a special edition faceplate that you can put on your new 3DS. Mm-hmm. It'll be Xenoblade themed.
Nice.
I like that.
Yep.
Like I said, they're all very oddly specific.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I've got all these specific predictions too, but...
Yeah.
And
so...
I agree with both, I think.
My third one, I guess this could be considered my wild card, is... At E3, I think they'll announce like a Nintendo Land 2 that'll have Amiibo support. Hmm. You'll be able to build like your own like parks.
I gotta be honest, I totally forgot about that game.
Yeah,
and I think that has potential.
Yeah, and it's weird they have not. Is it at like a version 1.1? I don't think they've updated Nintendo Land since launch.
I have no idea because I've barely played like outside of the like the 2 months that I had my Wii.
Yeah, you know what else is interesting about Nintendo Land? Nintendo Land is not available digitally on the eShop.
Huh. Oh, that's...
So there's another interesting fact.
Like, I get it was supposed to be like a, just like the Wii Sports was, almost like a tech demo that showcases what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the possibility of being able to scan in Amiibos to get... certain stage parts and then being able to make your own attractions to share with people online would be such an incredibly fun and deep experience that it should happen. Like, That's some potential right there. I could spend hours, you know, in a stage creator, you know, scanning my amiibos. It's like scanning Pikachu, you get Pokemon themed you know, park things to build stuff and so on and so forth. It just seems like too good of an idea not to capitalize on.
All right.
It sounds cool. You can't.
Yeah, it sounds cool. I just don't know if the Wii is capable of that kind of thing.
Well, they've made some pretty impressive things with the Smash Bros. Stage creator, so
right.
I think they can do it.
But, you know, those all have a certain amount of rules. Like, what rules would be in, like, a Nintendo Land 2, like, theme?
Oh, well, that's up to them to decide. I'm not the game designer there. If I was, then maybe I'd have some input. But they just need to hire me.
Yep. All right, you heard it, Nintendo. That's what
you need. You heard it.
Let's see this Nintendo Land 2. So that's all your predictions, Alex?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Hey, that's good, though.
Any objections, Justin?
Huh?
Any objections?
I like the ideas. I like the, I think the faceplate, I think that, I think all of Alex's are, Nintendo would be dumb if they don't do them. Well, except for the summer release, but, yeah, because sooner the better, but, yeah, the Xenoblade faceplate, that would be awesome. And Nintendo Land 2, or have like a whole creator, park creator thing, would be very cool. I like it.
And I guess finally onto my predictions here.
Yeah.
See what I've got. I've wrote a lot of things, but it's all in cursive, so I got to learn how to read it again. One of them is I think there will be more DLC for other games. Like, because I know Nintendo's gone out to say that, like, they're not going to, like, continue with this DLC thing like they have with the Fast Pew games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with the success with the DLC that's come their way, and, you know, with the Amiibo trends, it really seems like Nintendo's going to have to go that DLC direction whether they want to or not. So I think we may see things where, like, maybe even Captain Toad will have DLC.
Mm.
You know, a lot of the future, at least especially the Nintendo first party titles.
Mm-hmm.
So if we put DLC in there, there'll be DLC. Like Mario Party 10 will probably have DLC.
Yeah. I think that's a very good prediction. I think a lot more first party games. I see Nintendo is leveraging DLC a lot more. And I think they've done a great job of that already. I think they provide value with their DLC so far. And
yeah, I haven't seen anybody complain about Nintendo's DLC.
Yeah, I mean, like pricing, people are loving it, and the amount of content. You know, I think they've struck the right balance.
And speaking of DLC, I put it as another prediction. Hyrule Warriors has their third DLC coming out this month. It's the Majora's Mask pack, I believe.
Oh.
And that's going to have two new playable characters, and I don't know what they both are. But I think one of them is going to be Skull Kid, just because he would round out the console villain list.
Mm-hmm. And it would tie in nicely with Majora's Mask 3D.
Exactly, and that seems like that's part of that campaign there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I say round out the villains list on the consoles. I'm purposely excluding Demise, because Ganon's character is already like his combination of Ganon himself and Demise. Mm-hmm. What with the twin swords and like the long, you know, flowing hair.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think he's there close enough. If anything, you'll get like a, you know, a skin for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And here's, of course, plot twist. Mask, so what the heck, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if instead was the moon? So you just play as the moon, you just get to roll over like huge armies of people.
That'll probably be his special gauge attack is the moon.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Well, actually, I don't even know about that, because the Great Fairy special attack is the moon.
Yeah.
The moon's already there. That was great. That's a lot of fun. You just throw moons at people once you get desperate enough.
Heck yes.
I like it.
Let's see. And speaking of Majora's Mask, I forgot to tell you, the secret to all my list is it's just one segue after another. So watch this flow. Speaking of Majora's Mask, I think the next Zelda will have some kind of direct relation to Majora's Mask. simply, like, I think they're seeing, like, well, one, that could be one of the reasons that we're seeing Majora's Mask coming out again and, like, this huge fervor. Well, there's already a huge fervor of it. But, I mean, like, there's, like, this new there's this 3DS with Majora's Mask, and you get the Skull Kid figure. And, you know, it's like a revival that came out of nowhere. And if they wanted to do it, I feel like Nintendo could have, like, done it, like, last year and come up with Majora's Mask. But I think the timing of this one has something to do with the new Legend of Zelda that's coming up on the Wii U. So I think that we might see a more direct relation. And you know, the second reason I think that might happen is because it seems like Nintendo's trying to pay a little bit more attention because, you know, they had to pull out that Hyrule Historia and say, hey, they're all connected. Mm-hmm. And now they have to really kind of pay attention to that thing, which we saw with Skyward Sword. And there being, like, this direct connection between Skyward Sword and all the games. Like, they're saying that this is the definitive beginning. Mm-hmm. And they're like, really trying to establish a timeline here. So I think they might do the same thing with Majora's Mask. Mm. New upcoming Wii U title. Mm. Now, speaking of connections and plotline connections, I think the next Pokemon game will finally see, like, the Pokemon Z, kind of like how they do with the Trinity of Games that they always do. I think they kind of broke that with, like, the X and the – or, sorry, not X, sorry, Black and White. And they have Black 2 and White 2. And we didn't get, like, good one out of that. I think we might see a Pokemon Z this time around. Not only because, you know, there's X and Y, but, like, even, like, the Pokemon themselves – like, I don't know if you've seen these pictures online, but they'll show, like, the legendary Pokemon and how they're the X and a Y. So, you know, they might just kind of continue on with that theme with Pokemon Z.
And if you've played X and Y all the way through and some of the in-game stuff, then you know a little bit more. I don't want to spoil it, but you know what I'm talking about, Alex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. There are some legendaries that need to hurry up and release already. Yeah. I got Diancie, but or Diancie, or however you want to pronounce it, but I need the other two. Hello.
Yeah. I think we can spoil X and Y. I mean, it came out 2013. So.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so yeah, Matt, there is a Pokemon that is a Z. His name is Zygarde. And he's like a snake looking Pokemon, so it makes sense.
I mean, he's looking.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy looking, green black thing, but he's cool looking, and I mean he fits the bill for the X, Y, and Z. So he could easily fit the bill on a Pokemon Z, but
I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. And he's like the main legendary focus in that game.
And maybe he has a Mega Evolution or something. I don't know.
Like what they did with the Platinum.
Yeah.
Because I can think of like what other theme Pokemon would go with. Like we've done colors, we've done rocks, letters.
Some people, there was actually a NeoGAF thread that was, what would you name the next Pokemon games? And some people had Pokemon Yin and Yang, Pokemon Sun and Moon, you know, stuff like that. So there's definitely still some to draw off of. But
yep.
They are running out of colors.
They are running out of colors. We did Pokemon Gray.
Yeah. Or if they had like teal and lavender, or
that was the next one.
I was like, yeah. Granted, there are billions of colors and names for them, so they could go with the obscure ones. But
Pokemon Topaz,
yes, yeah,
which I think is already like a hacked game or something.
Probably.
I'm really gonna break the segue train. Sorry, I can't.
Oh.
But I think there will be another Kid Icarus, a console Kid Icarus. Considering the upsurge, first of all, there's the Kid Icarus from 3DS, but there's like also the upsurge in Kid Icarus characters in Smash Brothers with Pit, Dark Pit, and Palutena.
True. But Nintendo do like to troll us quite a bit.
That's true, but I believe Sakurai said something like he doesn't consider characters who have no future. And upsurge, instead of just like holding steady with Pit, there was, you know, two more characters in the Kid Icarus universe just all of a sudden, you know, introduced into Smash Brothers. So I think there might be something waiting in the wings for us in the future regarding that series.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind playing it with two control sticks. That would be nice.
Yeah. If that's true, I wonder if Shulk might be playable in Xenoblade Chronicles X in some way.
Right. Yeah, I wonder if there's like a direct correlation between Chronicles and Chronicles X.
Yeah. Like you've got to think they're not wanting to touch on it. They're like, hey, play the game and see for yourself. They don't want to say, hey, this is a sequel and, you know, get people's hopes up. But hey, if you play it and you see the connections and you're happy, cool. You know, they don't want to, you know, set up bad expectations probably. And like, what are you gonna do with the Shulk amiibo? Like, hey, Xenoblade Chronicles X comes out. If I put my amiibo there, I get to play Shulk. That would be cool. But.
Bam.
Yeah, that's true. Or Shulk somewhere in there and you can card him as a party member.
Yeah.
Now, that's bringing that up, just to go on a side tangent, and maybe we'll get into this when we do our Xenoblade, you know, podcast. Mm-hmm. But one thing I wonder is if how much can they reveal of Xenoblade Chronicles X and then say, well, I don't think they will say that Chronicles X is a direct sequel to Chronicles, simply because Chronicles is coming out again and they don't want to spoil the end of that one.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, like, I was looking over the landscapes, like, after I beat Chronicles, I was looking over the landscapes to see, like, indications of, like, oh, would they spoil that or not? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But like I said, sure. We're not going to spoil Chronicles here because people haven't played it. Obviously, there's only been, like, six copies in the U.S. ever released.
Yeah, I know. It is a little ridiculous.
It's sad I have the Wii version, but I'll buy the new 3DS version.
That's not sad at all.
Be able to clean it.
That's amazing. I think that's awesome. I will do the same. I own the Wii version as well.
It's one of those things where I'm more likely to complete a game if I have it on, like, my handheld system than I am on my console. I don't know what it is about it, but I don't know. It's easier for me to pick that up instead of... I feel like if I pick up the Wii U, it's like, okay, I have to stay in this room and I have to play this.
It's true, yeah. It's more comfy to play handheld for me, and I play it more at home, oddly enough, but yeah, it's like... It's different, yeah, than the console for me.
So I'm waiting to really feel it on the new 3DS. Mm-hmm.
You're really feeling it.
Exactly.
Before we get into a Xenocast,
yes. Stop us, Matt.
Yes. Well, yeah. Stop. I'm stopping you to stop me, because we will be here for hours if we start talking about Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah.
I could just go on to that game and on and on. My friends know that. They probably want me to shut up about that game by now. But my next prediction is that Retro Studios will reveal a title, but it will not be a Metroid title.
Hmm. I think
Justin already has that one. No. Is that just candy?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, Metroid might be moved in-house again just for a little bit. You know, just see what the main house might do. I think. I have nothing to substantiate that.
Right.
I just don't think it will be Teen Ninja again. That's as far as I can go.
The one thing I did like about the future of Metroid, it was, I forget the producer's name, but he talked about it, I think, after the last E3. And I think even they asked Miyamoto about it. It may have been a Kotaku interview or something. But they were talking about Metroid 2D versus 3D, and I thought it was interesting that Miyamoto mentions that he prefers the Prime style of Metroid games, the 3D style, over the traditional 2D. So I was like, that's pretty cool. So if that's not a, you know, good recommendation for pursuing another kind of realistic, you know, 3D exploration game like the Prime trilogy, I don't know what is, but
yeah, that definitely sounds like if it's retro, they're doing a 3D Prime.
Yeah.
Or if they're retro, if it's retro, it's doing a Metroid and it's doing 3D, simply because they have such a sparkling track record on that.
Yeah. And, you know, I could see, I mean, Nintendo, we all know, I mean, Nintendo is the first to admit some of their shortcomings coming into the HD space. I mean, they even said, like, hey, we worked with, you know, Monolith Soft, and we outsourced a lot of the, you know, textures and some of that stuff and some of the early HD games for the Wii U. So, you know, I could definitely see you know, some sort of crossover there. But
I gotcha. And aside from my what will happen list, I have a what won't happen list.
Uh-huh.
And,
nice.
Yeah.
Nintendo's not going anywhere. Nintendo's not doomed.
Exactly.
Nintendo this and the Nintendo don't.
I don't think there's going to be a Wii U price drop. That's first one. Right. I think it's as low as it's going to get until the next console comes out. Because I think that's just the line that Nintendo has. And if they're dropping any lower, even if the juicy raised sales, it won't help them at all.
Possibly.
And if they drop sales anymore, that might actually just cost them consumer confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have to walk a fine line for sure. And, you know, it may not be in the form of the price drop. It may be, you know, some sort of a bundle, you know.
All the bundles are such good deals. Like, they're, like, between one and two games each in those bundles.
I mean, you know, it could even be, you know, let's say Nintendo has been working on, you know, a slimmer gamepad or, you know, some new improvement there, and they don't want to sell the gamepad separately. They want to bundle it with the system. What if they have, you know, a new gamepad come out with a system to try and get people to buy in, and it's the same price or maybe $20 cheaper than the current Wii U, and then the regular Wii U with the normal gamepad is $50 off or whatever. So
that all sounds too confusing, and it sounds like the Wii Mini thing again.
Oh, the Wii Mini, that was just a terrible idea. Ugh.
So I don't know. I think the next price drop will be when the new console comes out.
Could be.
I don't think they're going to have N64 or DS Virtual Console this year, simply because Nintendo's been dragging their feet forever on that. I think they just want to continue on with this Game Boy Advance thing that they're going on and get a little bit more Super Nintendo games on there, but mostly Advance games. And then we'll see in 2016 that we'll see N64 or DS. Probably not both.
Could be.
They still need to bring over the Virtual Console games from the Wii so you can play them on the Wii U. I mean, how the heck am I supposed to play Princess Tomato and the Salad Kingdom on my Wii U? I can't do that yet.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Come on, man. Uh-huh.
Just switch over to the Wii.
That's too much of a pain.
No, it's not. They even had a shortcut in there where you hold B when you start on the Wii U.
And it goes, not short enough.
That's as short as it can get. You can't get any shorter unless there's a physical switch over here.
I need a Wii button. That's what I need.
Why not just have a Wii button?
That'll be the Wii redesign. It'll have a Wii button.
Yeah. No, that's not a Wii button. That's a terrible idea. That's a terrible prediction.
Maybe it's a miniature Wii button.
A miniature Wii button?
That's how they keep their Wii Mini idea alive.
Yeah. It's like the Sega CD like attaches on to the new Wii U.
Yes. Here's your GameCube backwards compatibility. That like the duct tape over GameCube. There. Here. You happy?
You know something? If they did ever announce that like GameCube backwards compatibility will work, that would be like the best like way to announce it is have like Reggie up there, and just have like a Wii Mini taped to a Wii U, and act like it's a Nintendo Direct all serious. It's like, this is our GameCube backwards compatibility. You guys have been asking for this for a while, so here you go.
I think that'd be a fun way to troll fans and then say, oh, by the way, it is a software update. Here you go, boom. You know.
Exactly. That'd be amazing.
No. See, what they'll do is they'll wait at E3, right? And they'll do the press event. And then they'll keep us all on the roof for another hour saying they're going to have a giant, you know, unveiling. And then it's just going to be the GameCube tied to the Wii U.
They've never done that in their past. What makes you think they'd do that?
Yeah, hopefully for an hour for like a terrible announcement. I don't know.
That's true. That was unfortunate.
Mm. I'm still mad about that. That was my first E3 experience.
Yeah. Hey, my first E3 experience was the Wii Music getting announced. So.
I don't know. I think you had the best Wii U experience because that's just a surreal moment like no other.
It was a little surreal, but I'll tell you what felt surreal was that Konami press conference in 2010.
That was the best.
I was talking with Kevin about that the other day. He's like, I still can't believe we were there.
So that actually happened.
Yeah, it was. If you guys don't know, just look up YouTube for Konami 2010 E3 press conference. You'll see what we're talking about.
You'll be in for a treat.
Yes.
Yes, that's a classic. Speaking of classics, mm-hmm. I have one more prediction of what won't happen.
Yes.
We won't see another Sonic reboot, and they're going to stick with Sonic Boom. Doesn't matter how bad those games are, because Sonic Boom is not just a game series. It's also a TV series.
Yeah.
It's probably a movie series at some point. I don't know.
They almost have to stick with it. Hopefully they just get a better game design.
I'm feeling nauseous right now.
Yeah.
Well, like what happened? There was like just problems in the design process. Like it was rushed into the end. A lot of things had to be like pulled out or something like that.
Well, the thing happened was the exact same thing that happened with Sonic 2006. They had two games that they had to make. Mm-hmm. They were stretched too thin, mm-hmm. and they tried to get it out for the holiday season.
No, I think so it was really just trying to make a date. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they delayed it, it probably could have been a good game. Mm-hmm.
Just like what happened with Sonic 2006, because they made that, and they're like, oh, wait, the Wii isn't going to be able to handle that, so we're going to make Sonic and the Seven Rings on top of Sonic 2006. And that's how that whole nasty business started, so... Yeah. History repeated itself. We didn't learn.
No.
The future refused to change.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they outsourced it to, like, two studios this time around, so.
Yeah.
I mean, pause for that.
Yeah, with probably some unreal expectations.
Yeah. I was most disappointed in the 3DS release. Like, I thought that was going to be at least good. Like, it seemed really promising.
Yeah.
And I mean, it wasn't as bad as the Wii U version, but still, you know.
It's sad because like it seems like they went backwards. Because I thought the last Sonic game on the Wii U wasn't bad. That one was like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lost World.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Lost World for the most part was I think most people in retrospect would say Lost World is better than Boom for sure.
Yeah.
But.
Hey, you know who would be the perfect person to talk about that?
Hmm.
Tristan.
Yep.
You know who's not here? Tristan.
Tristan. Where is Tristan?
I don't know. Let's see.
Probably drinking at a bar.
We check Twitter here real quick. Oh, he's at a bar. Okay.
Of course.
I guess, you know, he couldn't free up his schedule enough to come onto the podcast at least once in 2015.
Typical.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even I made it. Come on.
It's practically almost 2016 now. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm disappointed, but I know you, the viewers, are very disappointed, and you should let Tristan know how disappointed you are by tweeting him at tmyman89 on Twitter.
Oh. Hashtag also, shame on you, Tristan.
Yes.
Hashtag shame on you, Tristan.
I like it.
Also, Tristan's a secret fan of Hatsune Miku, and you should send him all the fan art you can.
He never shuts up about it.
I know. He really doesn't.
You know, it's a good thing he's not on this podcast, because, I mean, we wouldn't be able to move through the podcast because he'd bring up Hatsune Miku and how he was disappointed that her newest project, Diva F, wasn't on the 3DS, so he couldn't get a review copy. I keep telling him to follow Hatsune Miku on Twitter, but I think he's just too embarrassed. So I think you people out there on Twitter need to encourage him to have Hatsune Miku accounts follow Tristan on Twitter. TeamIman89.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And
our work is done.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I feel like that was a huge cap off to the podcast there.
Yeah.
So, again, I want to thank all our viewers for watching our 58th KoopaCast. I want to thank Justin and Alex for coming on to our KoopaCast and discussing their predictions for Nintendo. And I'd like to thank Tristan for having a drink at the bar and not defending himself about Hatsune Miku.
Mm.
And we will see you, as always, in 2 weeks with yet another KoopaCast. All right, bye,
take
folks.
Care, everybody.
See you, everyone.
T-Mime in 89.